We're going to have a good time tonight studying a portion that will challenge your mind, but at the same time will be a blessing to you if you love the Word of God. And so I'm just going to start by reading two brief portions and then ask you a question. Numbers chapter 16, starting at verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, and 250 more. Look at verse 3. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, in the morning the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he shall choose will he cause to come near unto him. Now, he challenges them, and they take the challenge. So, look over at verse 25. And Moses went up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they gat them up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little ones. And Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the ground open its mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down alive into hell, then ye shall understand that these men have despised the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. And look at the last verse, 25. And fire came forth from the Lord and devoured the 250 men that offered the incense. And now, something that doesn't come for ever so many chapters, but we'll see it in chapter 26. This is what is so remarkable. Chapter 26. Look at verse 10. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign, notwithstanding the son of Korah die not. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, such remarkable things are contained in thy word. Things difficult to understand, and yet of such importance that thou hast set them before the eyes of men for thousands of years. We thank you, our God, for the lessons that they have imparted to those who have been exercised thereby over the years, and our hearts as well. We pray that we shall learn from them. So illumine us, let us understand the lessons contained, and bless us for good. Thou knowest our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And you know the hearts of the people of God, and thou knowest the lips of thy servant. Prepare both, that all shall be profitable. Give us a good hour, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Now, unless I have told you, And I'm not sure because I saw a fragment of an outline about the sons of Korah. And these nights I'm going to talk to you about fathers and sons. And you have Korah the father and his sons, the sons of Korah. Now, unless I've told you, I venture to say that in all your life you have never heard who the sons of Korah are. Have I ever told you who they were? Do you remember my telling you once? Have I ever told you? Tim, do you have a great intelligence? Do you know who they are? You don't. All right. If it says they are the sons of Korah, there must have been at least how many? Two. But how many sons did Gideon have, David? Try 70. And so there may have been as many as 70. From two to 70 sons. But how is it that you have read a psalm of the sons of Korah? You'll find that no less than 11 times in the psalms. And the psalms are from 42, you get 8 of them, to 49, and then you have 84, 85, and 87 and 88. So you'll have 11 psalms, but you'll see that 42 and 3 really go together. You have 12 psalms, and 11 of them say, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Well, how many sons did he have? Some brother take a guess. 2, 3, 5, 10, 15? How many? 12. That's a good guess. Jacob had 12 sons, didn't he? All right. How many would you say, David? It would be a guess, wouldn't it? All right. I will tell you, there were 3. That's all. And if it meant your life, and I said, show me in the Bible where the names of the sons of Korah are listed, you would never find them. Because, usually, if you challenged me, I would turn to Chronicles, because there you have genealogy after genealogy. But this one is in a place that you would never think of looking, but we're going to look now, and you will never forget, because for the first time, evidently, you have heard a message on the Psalms of the sons of Korah, and who those sons are, and what their names are. And from this day forward, you will know. So turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. And so since David didn't take a guess, we're going to let David read us. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 24. Now listen carefully. A fire staff. All right. These what? All right. And so how many sons did he have? 3. And their names are Asher, Elkanah, and Abiathar, and you'll never find them in Chronicles. You'll find one son, but in Chronicles, like it will say, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat, but it will have one. But here is the only place you find all these 3 sons grouped together, and now you know, when it says the sons of Korah, you know how many there were, but you know more than that, you know their names. Now, this is the meaning of their name. Asher means prisoner or captive. Elkanah means God hath obtained. And Abiathar means father of gathering. He was one that probably gathered material and put it together. But these are their names. And I thought of that. I said, how remarkable. So now I understand. When all of this great destruction was taking place in Numbers 16, and all of those that appertained unto Korah, when the earth clave, opened its mouth, and swallowed them up, if we only had Numbers chapter 16, you would have thought his whole family was devoured. But we found in Numbers chapter 26, howbeit, the sons of Korah perish not. So how many sons were saved that day, Tim? 3. 3 sons. All right. Here is where it all starts. But now, when you get to the psalm, when it says a psalm of the sons of Korah, it's not 3. Because when it says the sons of Israel or the children of Israel, it doesn't mean Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar. When it says the children of Israel or the sons of Israel 100 or more years later, it's talking about their descendants way into the future. And so when we read about the Psalms of the sons of Korah, it meant, though, the sons that sprang from Korah, whose sons were Asher, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. And I won't press you any more as to show me just how that genealogy goes on, but this is what is so remarkable when you start looking into genealogies. If you look into your own genealogy and you think you're proud, you'll be humbled. And if you're humble at times, you'll find somebody that had a little bit of importance. But what is so fascinating about tracing the genealogy of the sons of Korah is this. You find fathers and sons. You have fathers, and they had sons who were disgraces to their fathers, and you had fathers who had sons that outlived the disgrace passed on by their father. And so it may be that my father disgraced me, and I outlived the disgrace passed by my father. It may be that my father was one who glorified God, and I disgraced my father. You have both. And that's what's so sad in the Bible. You could wish that every son would be like his father. You say, I certainly do wish that. Unless that father were an evil man. Now, if the father is a good man, we could wish that like father, like son. But it's not always that way. As good a man as some of the servants of God were, their sons were abominable. And as abominable as some are in the Bible, their sons turn out to be men of God. So there's hope. And so if you look back and you say, my father or my grandfather amounted to nothing, I have something to live down. Well, the sons of Korah are those who have lived down the disgrace passed on by their father. And think of this, most of us, and I've wondered about it, most of us, when we look back at our genealogies, if you found somebody that had royal blood in him, would you be proud of that person? You would. I would be so ashamed I wouldn't know what to do. Do you know why? Have you ever read the genealogy of the Queen of England? Well, if you've read it, you find out that they were drunkards and murderers and diseased, and they would kill their own brothers and children. It was horrible. And in the blood of the queen flows the blood of her ancestors. And you read it. Oh, but they were king and queen. Yes, but so many of them were abominable, incestuous sinners. That's the terrible thing. But at times you come along and out of it all will come a good and a respectable king or a queen, and we thank God for that. Now, in like manner, if you look back in your own genealogy, you will find something of which you may be ashamed. But remember, you can live it down. And it may be that you are the first one who amounts to something as a child of God, as far as you know. I didn't realize it, but when I look back in my genealogy on my mother's side, I found out that my great-great-grandfather was one of six brothers, and all of them were preachers. Isn't that remarkable? And so I come by it naturally. You see, I'm descended from a line of preachers. I didn't know that till about 10 years ago. But I look back, and then I shan't tell you about others from whom I am descended and the nicknames that were given to them. But I hope that by God's grace, those grandfathers and the uncles that lived before me, who are in heaven now because they preached Christ and believed in him, I hope that when I get to heaven, I will have a record like unto theirs. My great-great-grandfather, I'll tell you this, it's just the family here, he went about Wake County putting Bibles in homes back in the 1800s, placing Bibles in the homes. And so I thank God for that, and others I could tell you about as well. But what I'm saying, I can look back a few generations and I can say, thank God. And I can look back a few generations and say, God, deliver me. May not their blood come out in my life. So it's good and bad. Now, this is what is so fascinating about looking into the genealogy of the sons of Korah, because you would never know it. But if I mention the name Samuel, from whom do you think he would be descended, since I mentioned his name, Bob? I'm talking about the descendants of the sons of Korah, and a surprise is going to come to you. From whom do you think Samuel was descended? Korah. That's what's so remarkable. And what causes us to misunderstand about it, we read about Elkanah, his father, and Hannah, and it speaks of his father, the Ephraimite. We say, why, he's not a Levite. If we have time, if not, I will tell you this, I can trace Samuel's genealogy back to his grandfather, Levi, way back. He gives his genealogy step by step by step, and you look at Samuel, and little Samuel was descended from Korah, from Asher, Elkanah, Abiathar, from the sons of Korah. Samuel was descended from those sons. You say, oh God, just think. Think of this prophet, this judge in Israel that meant so much to the nation. And he never would have come into existence unless God in his grace had spared the sons of Korah. Now, here is why I'm talking about fathers and sons. Do you know who the two sons of Samuel were? Well, do you know who? Son, I'll give you a dollar after the meeting for that. Very good. Now, were they good sons or bad sons? Why? Say that louder. Yes, he tried to. Perhaps he tried to. Eli reprimanded his children, but it says, you didn't restrain them. And so, Tim, get after your son harder. You speak to him, but you have to restrain him, you see. That's very good, son. But it says that when Samuel was an old man, he thought that he could pass on by blood all the good qualities that were in him. But he could not. And he made his sons, Joel, and who was the other one? Abiathar, made them judges in Israel, but they had a weakness, and someone who wanted to pervert justice would come up and give them a bribe, and so they would take that bribe, and they were corrupt in the sight of God. And the nation of Israel knew it, and they said, you are not like your sons. Your sons, no, we don't want them as judges. Make us a king. So, just think. Here is a good father, but he had sons, Joel and Abiathar. And now, the father is ashamed of his son, and the sons did not live up to the reputation of their father. But in the case of Korah, we have Korah's sons, and they are nobler than their father, and they are able to live down all of the shame that was heaped upon the name of Levi because of his rising up and wanting a higher position among the people of God. All right, that is the background, and here is what I want to tell you about these sons of Korah. All you have to remember is three names. Now, you know that Jacob had 12 sons, and starting with his 12 sons, God said, the tribe of Levi, you have Jacob, and then among his 12 sons, Levi is one of them. He said, Levi is going to be the tribe from which I take the Levites and the priests. They both come from the tribe of Levi. But one family of the Levites produces the priests, and the other families of the Levites produce those that have the service of the tabernacle. Now, follow this, because at times you have to grasp it to understand. At times it speaks of the Kohathites. When it speaks of the Kohathites, it is simply speaking of the father of Korah. Listen, here you have Levi, and then you have Kohath, and then you have Izhar, and then you have Korah. And so when it speaks of Kohath, it simply is the father, one generation back, the father of Izhar, and then Izhar produces Korah. So if you read of the Kohathites, you're reading of the Korahites as well. And that's so helpful, because at times you say, the Kohathites, who are they? They are the same as the Korahites. Now, remember this. You have to remember that Levi had three sons. If you can remember three names, Gershon, Kohath, Merari. And from these three sons, all the Levites descend. But Kohath had four sons. You don't have to remember this, but just remember. Kohath had Izhar, Amram, Hebron, and Uzziel. He had four sons. Now, it means this. It means that since Izhar and Amram were brothers, Amram was the father of whom, David? Amram and Jochebed. Any brother? Do you remember who? Moses. Very good. And so, if you have Amram and Izhar being brothers, then Moses and Korah were what? The children of brothers are what? First cousins. First cousins, do you see? And so now, here is Korah. And he looks at Moses and he says, look, he says, my father and your father were brothers. And now you have the priesthood and I have to do a servile job in the tabernacle. You take too much on yourself. And that's where it all started. Because they could just point back two or three generations and say, Levi was our grandfather as much as yours. And at the same time, Kohath was my grandfather as much as yours. And yet, God said, from the tribe of Levi and from the tribe of Kohath, from Amram, from his descendants, we have to get the priesthood. And remember this, Moses was a greater man than Aaron, and yet Moses' sons, when they were born, they had no right to intrude into the priesthood. Isn't that remarkable? Here is Moses, and yet God said, Moses, you are not going to be the one from whom the priests flow, but it was Aaron who was unworthy. And so Moses had sons, you remember? See if you can remember Moses' sons for another dollar. All right, that's all right. But you knew the others, that was fine. Gershon and Eliezer, that's very good, son. Those were Moses' sons, but they could not be priests. They could be Levites, but they couldn't be priests. And so Aaron had sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. He had sons, and from them all the priests descended. All right, having said that, I want you to understand how it's all in the family. And now, the sons of Korah. Here are fathers and sons who had to live down the shame that took place in the lives of their fathers. I want to show you what their service was before the temple was built. And you'll find it, and it may be good. You may turn to it. I'll tell you. Turn to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. Because they have a threefold occupation at different times in life. But at this point, as Levites, look at verse 4. It says, this is the service of the son of Kohath. Now, why did I tell you you had to know about Kohath? Who's descended from Kohath? Who? Yes, but immediately. His name is Korah. You understand? Because we're going to have three. You have Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, you see? And so when we have Kohath, we're talking about Korah and his descendants. All right. So when it's talking about Kohath, we're talking about the sons of Korah. Now, look and see what it says in verse 4. This is the service of the sons of Kohath, and this would be the sons of Korah, in the tent of meeting about the most holy thing. Now, when they take down the tabernacle, you'll find that all the articles of furniture are dealt with by Aaron and his sons. They're covered and prepared. The staves are in them, and when that happens, then the sons of Korah come and they bear on their shoulders all these precious articles of furniture of the tabernacle. Now, I want you to see this. in chapter 7. Turn to chapter 7. And read me verse 9. Bob, have you got it? Verse 9 of chapter 7 of Numbers. All right. All of these precious articles of furniture were borne on the shoulders of the sons of Korah. I'll just tell you this briefly. You'll find that the Gershonites had to do with all the coverings and the tabernacle and so forth. They had to do with the linen material and so forth. But then you'll find that the Merarites had to do with all the heavy equipment, the pillars and things of that nature. And you'll find that the Gershonites had two carts that were given to them, and the Merarites had four carts that were given to them. But how many carts were given to the Kohathites? None. They had to bear the articles of furniture upon their shoulders. Now that would be something to complain about. Think of these brothers of mine doing nothing but sitting on that cart driving those oxen, and here I am. It might not be that way. I would think how precious was the privilege that was mine to be into such intimate contact with the articles of furniture. Do you see? And others that are driving the oxen might look over at the sons of Korah and say, look at their privileged position, carrying those articles of furniture. Do you see how it is? So we can criticize one another. I can look at you and you can look at me and we can pick one another to pieces. But God is He, in 1 Corinthians 12, that set in the body members as they please Him. And in like manner in the Old Testament, God said, Aaron, you are going to be the priest, and your sons are going to have the priesthood. He said, Korah, you are going to have the service of the tabernacle, and the descendants of Gershom and the descendants of Merari, you are going to do the service of the tabernacle. So the matter was settled. But when God had said it, that was not satisfactory to Korah and his Dathan and Abiram and 250 leaders. And so that's why we have to be careful that once we find something stated in the Word of God, then we bow to it. Because if we do not bow to it, then a judgment can fall upon us as it fell upon them. But now, the time came when this duty ended, and so let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 6 now. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And let's look at verse 31. 1 Chronicles 6, 31. And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord, after that the ark had rest. You see? Before they had borne the ark throughout their wanderings upon their shoulders. Wherever the ark was to go, it was to be carried upon the shoulders of the sons of Korah. But now the ark has found rest. And this is what it says, verse 32. This is a most important verse. And they ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. You see? There were things going on around the tabernacle before Solomon built his temple, and the ones who were over the song, they ministered with song before the tabernacle and so forth. All right, now, let's look up at verse 33. And these are they that waited and their sons of the Kohathites, and these are the sons of whom? Korah. Remember two K's. If you have the Kohathites, you have the Korahites. Now, listen carefully. Of the sons of the Kohathites, Heman, the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel, the son of Elkanah. You say, why, of course. Elkanah and Hannah had Samuel, and Samuel had Joel, and Joel had Heman. Think of this. Now, you have three generations. Samuel was a good father. Joel was a worthless father. Haman was a good father. And so you have one father producing a bad son, and you have one father who was bad producing a good son. How remarkable. From one generation to the next, it changes. It would be so good if we had it generation after generation after generation. But it's not always that way. But remember now, before they had the service of the tabernacle and they carried the articles of furniture on their shoulders. But now that the ark has rest, what are they going to do, David? They're going to sing. Well, sing? Yes, you're going to sing. And so now the song service has devolved upon them. Now let me show you. I'm not going to read all of these names, but look at verse 37. Verse 37. And it says in verse 37, the son of Tahath, the son of Asir, the son of Abiathar, the son of Korah. You remember I told you Asher, Elkanah, Abiathar? And so here is Korah. And descended from his son, Abiathar, we go all the way till we come to Samuel. And so now, when you're thinking of the sons of Korah, think that out of those sons came Samuel, and also came Heman. Now, I have to tell you things without reading as much as we have been reading, but Heman was the chief musician. It mentions three. It mentions Heman, and it mentions Asaph, and it mentions Ethan. And it says that Heman was over the song, and on his right hand was Asaph, and on his left hand was Ethan. And Asaph and Ethan and Heman are descended from Gershon and Kohath and Merari. You see? The three sons, they all come down. And now, ever so many generations later, you have the three sons of Kohath. You have the son Gershon and Kohath and and Merari. You have the three sons of Levi. You have these sons all working side by side. And again, Asaph could say, I want to be in the middle. And Ethan could say, I want to be in the middle. But God said, Heman, I want you to be in the middle. And if this Heman is the one whose name appears at the top of one psalm, I'll give you another dollar if you'll tell me what psalm Heman wrote. Any chance? Psalm 88. 88. Let's turn to it just for what is interesting, because it is only one of two exceptions in the Bible. Now look at the heading for Psalm 88. It says, a psalm of the sons of Korah for the chief musician set to Mahath Leonoth, a maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. Well, now wait a minute. Is it by the sons of Korah or is it by Heman? We found out that Heman was a son of whom? A son of Korah. You understand? All right. Here is another psalm by the sons of Korah, and this is the only psalm of the sons of Korah that has a particular name. And I will tell you only this. All the other psalms, and I told you about them, 42 to 49, and now 84, 85, 87, and 88, all of these psalms say a psalm of the sons of Korah. Which son? We are given ever so many names. But here they are. They either work in collaboration, these sons working together, the descendants, and they put together a psalm, and they just say, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Or it may be that one of those sons, like Heman, wrote that psalm, but he wanted to remain anonymous. And at times I see that. I'll read beautiful pieces of poetry, and it will say, anonymous. We do not know who wrote it. And of all the sons of Korah, only one of them has a name over one of the psalms. So, there are many commendable things. I look back and it may be that my father or my grandfather was a good man or a bad man. And yet, if he was a good man, by God's grace, let me live up to the father that was a man of God before me. And if he were a bad man, may I, by God's grace, live down the disgrace that he passed on to his children. But I venture to say this, however bad the reputation of Korah was, his sons had lived it down, and they are more glorious than the disgrace passed on by their father. This is the first of our messages on fathers and sons, the sons of Korah. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, how remarkable that thou dost trace forth over so many hundreds of years the descendants of these men about whom we've read and known, Levi and Samuel, and to think that these men were descended from Korah, Samuel, and Heman. Our Father, we thank you for this. We think of Joel and we are afraid.